And John is going to come up, the first of three periods.
Before 11:45, we'll have to see with three sermons. I really love this new desk. I'm going to bring my sandwiches next time for a long sermon. Right, here we go. Are we on? Excellent. Right, if you were here a couple of years ago or the year before that, you know I quite like to do a review of the year as we move out of one year into another. This time it's a new decade as well as a new year, 2019 into 2020. And this time between Christmas and New Year is a time of review. You've probably had all those Christmas letters, learning about your friends and what their families have achieved in the last 12 months. I like the newspaper quizzes and the TV quizzes of the year, and I think we should do the same. So if you sat far back, you won't be able to see some of the clues in a second, but don't worry. So we shouldn't rush as well into the new year, into a new sermon series, because we've had so much taught us and so much to think about over 2019. I think it's a shame and wrong to just sort of push it to one side and say, let's move on, have a new sermon series. So we're going to see what we've learnt over the last year as a church, and we're hopefully going to understand it even more. Now, when I was preparing these talks, I got an earworm. Earworm? Yeah. Here's your first question. It comes from a song that was recorded in 1980 by a Scottish band. Let's go round again. Maybe we can turn back the hands of time. You need to be about 40 plus to know this one. Anybody willing to admit their Scottish band? Three words? No, not those. They're 1970s. There are other Scottish bands available. Nobody? Okay, I don't have their music, but their best song was called Pick Up the Pieces. No? Okay. It's a band called the... Was that a hand up? Well done, that man. Average White Band. Okay, well done. Average White Band. So, we're going to turn back the hands of time and look at what we learnt this year. Now, I had an evil uncle who every New Year invited us to his house and then inflicted a quiz of the year on us before he'd let us have the food. I'm going to do the same to you. If you sat far back, you are disadvantaged. So, two teams, here we go. We're going to go clockwise, question to each side. Start with this side. We're going to go from here. Anyone on this side? This group disrupted Central London this year. Who were they? Extinction Rebellion, point to this side. Okay, moving around. You recognise this guy? That's not the question, but yes, it's Donald Trump. He has a gift he's holding back from which country? The Ukraine. Okay, he's facing impeachment because of this. Back to this side. This gentleman retired this autumn. Who is he? And his role? Speaker of the House. His new book is coming out, which is called, I think, Unspeakable in the New Year. Look out for it. Okay, back to this side. Who is this 16-year-old? Greta Thunberg. And what did she start? It really annoyed me as a teacher, by the way. What were they called? What day were they on? Fridays. Fridays for the Future. Okay, we've got a bonus point there. Okay, back to this side. Easy question. This person walked away from her job this year. Theresa May, okay. This is definitely Hesse's question. This author, Canadian author, released her follow-up to her well-known book. Who is it and what's the book? Margaret Atwood, and the new book is called? It's called The Testament. You get a point for that. Her Handmaid's Tale was the first book. Okay. This gentleman was reclining in the House of Commons and got a lot of comments for his relaxed attitude during a debate. Who is this man? Jacob Rees-Mogg. Okay, this is one for the young. This is a singer. He's a grime artist. He's wearing a stab-proof vest. Hey, okay, the music group know this, so you have to know this. Stormzy. Okay, and this is probably the hardest one. This is the one I wasn't that familiar with myself. Who is this? She won 3 Emmys for her TV series. Need a full name. It's a double-barreled name. Very good. It's Phoebe Waller-Bridge for Fleabag. Okay, I think this one is a giveaway. We've got the three main party leaders and a very happy person in the background. Okay, this is, you ever had a Christmas cracker that did this? Somebody gets all of it. So Bojo got all of it. And Jeremy's looking a bit disgruntled, as is Joe. But as I say, a certain person in the back is looking very happy about the outcome. So Nicholas Sturgeon is looking very happy. Okay, Christmas quiz over. Do you feel better? Do you feel informed? Okay, we are... Oh, by the way, the constant news story this year was Brexit negotiations. We got this card from a friend of ours. She always designs her own cards, and I thought this was the best card of the year that we received. Okay, the best deal is in the stable, not on the table. Right. Okay, we're going to start looking at what we did this year. Let's open in prayer. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay, it's January 2019, and we are studying this book. What is the book? It's Mark. Mark. Okay, it's Mark. It's Gospel of Mark. And what is the central message of the book? That's harder, but you may be able to get it. Look, what's this? It's a waiter, and what's he doing? Serving what? He's serving ants. It's servants. Servants. The central message of Mark is Jesus the servant. Okay, we actually started Mark the previous year. I just want to whiz through. In the previous year, 2018, we looked at Jesus as the servant of the multitude, first 7 chapters, and we started then the next section when he was servant to the disciples. And I just want to use one verse from the Gospel to sort of center our thinking today. At the end of the Gospels, we went towards Easter. Obviously, it was the ministry in Jerusalem, and then on the cross, and then following the resurrection. But I want to go back to one verse in chapter 10 that Bart preached on, and look at that for a few moments. So, it's this one. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Context is important. This is a verse after 2 of the disciples had had a quiet word with Jesus and said, we want to sit on your left and your right in glory. We want to be in the greatest positions. And Jesus uses their mistake as an opportunity to teach about true greatness, to understand what true greatness actually is. It is to be a servant, okay? Jesus says that if you want to be great, you should follow my example. I didn't come to be served and waited on, but I came to serve. True greatness is serving one another. The greatness that you want, James and John, is exclusive. If you have this greatness, no one else can have it. But the greatness I say is the true greatness is one that is inclusive. Everyone can serve one another and therefore be great. And Bart gave a video clip, I believe, of Martin Luther King, a sermon on this, where Martin Luther King said, everyone can be great, everyone can serve, with a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love. So, what does this mean? Takeaway. Let's do this. Application. Okay? My application from this is, as we approach 2020, are we aiming for true greatness? Are we aiming to serve one another with a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love. Well, I think we'll be hearing more of this when we look at the verse for 2020 in the new year. Now I'm going to switch this off before I cause havoc, and we'll be back in May in a short while. Thank you. Easter's over, it's now May. And where's Bart? He was sighted in Kingston and Tolworth, but never in Emmanuel. Ooh, it was sabbatical time. Bart took some time off to study and sort of meditate and do other things, go to America. And we were left with some guest speakers to take us through the next book. Here we go. Here's the picture clue. How do you know it's Philippians? I spent hours scanning this. So you, it's flipping ends. Flipping ends. It's Philippians. I'm not doing these anymore. If you're just going to guess. Okay. What's the message? It's humble. It's a humming bull. It's humble. You hum if you're happy. If you're happy, it's being happily humble is the message of Philippians. So, in the book of Philippians, we see Paul being happy and humble in all circumstances. He is in prison, and he's encouraging the church in Philippi to follow his example, being happy in all circumstances. Now, Paul knows nothing about what the immediate future holds for him. There seems to be only two things. It's going to be continuing to live or to be killed. And he says this most incredible phrase, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." He is equally happy about either outcome. He is happy in either situation. If he continues to live, it gives him an opportunity to grow in holiness, to become more sanctified, more Christ-like. It gives him an opportunity to continue to spread the gospel, to extend the kingdom. But if his life is going to be taken, then he has the opportunity now to be with Christ and to know him fully. Either makes him happy. He actually goes for the second option, but he's happy in either situation. Now, I was one of the guest speakers in that series, and I had the privilege of preaching, teaching from Philippians 3. It was the section where Paul, in effect, gives his testimony. It's as if Paul was standing here saying, "This is what my life was like before I knew Christ, and now I know Christ. Everything I did before Christ is like nothing." He was a success in the world's eyes, but now everything he'd done before he knew Christ was rubbish, dirt, refuse, and everything is now, to him, knowing Christ. So let's apply. So as we face the new year, we know very little about what it will hold for us, but the challenge is to be like Paul. We'll be happy in whatever circumstances we find ourselves in 2020. Will we see opportunities in everything that happens to us? It's now August. Gosh, time flies. And Bart's back, and we have a short series in a book, very short, but I found this very challenging and a very powerful three-sermon series. What is the book? Numbers. Why do we know it's Numbers? No guessing. And what are the numbers doing? They're going around in circles, and where are they going around in circles? They're spiritually blind, and they are, where are they? In the desert, in the wilderness. It's wandering in the wilderness. And the message of this short part of Numbers was complaining has consequences. So, what were the people complaining about? Do you remember? Three things. Food and water, what else? Okay, I'll tell you. They were complaining about their food, God's provision of food for them in the wilderness. They were complaining about the leadership of Moses and Aaron, and they then complained about God's plan, his plan for them to enter the promised land. All the people complained. They wanted to get out and go back to where they'd come from, back to Egypt, with the exception of one single voice going against the flow. Who was that single voice? It wasn't Joshua, it was Caleb. This is what Caleb said. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Okay, Caleb was the single voice of dissent amongst the people, because it sounds like Bob Dylan's song, he had God on his side. Now, Bart talked about biblical mass here, and I'm not sure how Phil feels about this, biblical mass. If you are one plus God, you are the majority. Okay, and this is what Caleb saw and what the others refused to see. And this disobedience had consequences. It's what God says. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants shall inherit it. Caleb was one of the spies who'd spied out the land and reported back, and the people had rejected his report and said, let's go back. Now, as I say, this was a very challenging short series, and the challenge is that our actions have consequences. The people of Israel took actions, the right actions, and they had consequences, okay? And they had to live through those consequences. They remained God's chosen people, but they acted in a way that they had to then suffer wandering in the wilderness. And it became a discipline, a form of discipline to them. God never abandoned them, but he in effect disciplined them. And as we learnt when we looked at this series of sermons, we as Christians, we are forgiven. We are not going to be judged at the end of time, but we will still have to live with the consequences of our sins that we commit on earth. Things that we do have consequences, but God does not abandon us. So, takeaway for 2020. Are we going to complain in 2020 about God's provision? Are we going to complain about our leadership, secular and spiritual? Are we, like the Israelites, tried? Are we going to try and rewrite God's plan for us or reschedule it for later when it's more convenient? That's something to think about in the new year. We'll be back in September. I'm now going to sit down again. Thank you.
And now Hesse is going to bring us our reading.
The reading today is from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 1 to 8, on page 1233. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power for ever and ever. Amen. Look, he's coming in the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Thanks be to God.
I think I gave that one away. We know what this is. Can't really have the reading before the passage and not let the people know what they're reading. Revelation, it's September, and we finally learn what Bart did on his holiday. Sorry, sabbatical. And, yeah, it's a very difficult book, and I think it's amazing that we're doing this book, and it has so much in it, and I'm just going to touch on a few things at the close of this service. So, Revelation. Well, it says what it does, apparently. It reveals what is really happening. It is the spiritual reality behind what we see on earth. There's a nice little quote from one of the commentaries I like on Revelation by Michael Wilcock. He says, it's revealing the truth, not obscuring it. Having said that, Bart unusually took a whole sermon as a flight check. I think he called it a flight check. Before we took this book on, he said we need to know several important things before we even start to go through it together. So we know it's a difficult book, but it is a rewarding book, and I want to focus on two verses from the passage Hesse read to us. The first one is the chapter 1, verse 3, blessed is the one who reads the words. How many times is there a blessing in the book of Revelation? Think of a number. It is seven. What is the number seven supposed to symbolize in the book? God's perfection. God's perfection. So this is the first of seven blessings. And we were told in the first week to expect to be blessed by reading this book. This book, or this letter, would have been handwritten and copied and would have been read. One copy would go to a church and it would be read by a lector, and the people would listen. They wouldn't be able to read it themselves because he would have it in his hand, and they would listen. Okay, a congregation listens to the words being read, the words of prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it. To hear is, I think, to do more than listen is actually to pay attention to what is being said, because they'll be blessed if they take it to heart. And the Greek words here mean those who keep what it says, those who obey it, those who allow it to shape their Christian lives and change them. So we should expect, as we study Revelation, we're roughly halfway through, we should expect this book to change us as Christians. And Bart has encouraged us to read it. He said read it in one sitting, read it several times, become familiar with the words. Now, the biggest confusion, perhaps, on the book is what is meant by the time is near, which is at the end of verse 3. And Bart skipped through this quite quickly, but I just want to show you how it can be interpreted. There are four schools, roughly, of interpretation in Revelation. The preterist view, which says it was written just for the church in the first century. The historical view that says it maps out the entire history of the church in a timeline. Just look out for the events through time. Or the futurist view, which says it's just for the very end of time. Watch out for the signs to show the very end of time is coming. Or the idealistic, allegorical, symbolic view, which is the message of Revelation is for the church throughout time, which is the view we're taking as we study this book. Bart said very, very clearly it is written to them, the first century church, but it's for us as well. It's for us, the church, throughout time. So I was thinking of doing a numbers quiz, but I don't think we've got time for this. What does number six represent? evil, or some people say 666 is probably the number you're thinking of, but the number 6 is often seen as representing humankind in perfection, because they're not 7. Not 7. 12. The 12 tribes, or the 12 apostles, or the whole church, if you add the two together, the 24. So more of these numbers next year. But I want to focus as well at the end of the passage on these two Greek letters, Alpha and Omega, the A to Z, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, being at the start and at the end of history and all the points in between. This is describing the Lord, it's describing God, it also describes Jesus later on in the book of Revelation. And it's saying to us, the Lord controls the world, even when the world refuses to acknowledge him. We saw on the screen earlier on, people who were the faces of 2019, whether they acknowledged Jesus as their Lord or not, the Lord is in control of the world, whatever might appear to be the contrary on the surface. If we go and reveal what's really going on, the Lord is in control. So our final takeaway for 2020. Christ stands at the beginning of every year, every decade, every century, every millennium. And that should give us reassurance that he is there, he has never left, he is in control. Whatever happens next year, he is in control. So, let's look forward. What have we got to look forward to next year? We have more Revelation, hopefully the completion of the book next year. We'll have a new verse for the year as well to study and to help us practice as Christians and to improve in holiness and sanctification. So much to look forward to, but also much to look back on and not just forget about what we've learnt this year. I feel I should advertise. You know the website's there, you know the talks are there. Can I recommend listening to them and going over them? They do repay you if you do that. You learn a lot. Listen again and remember what we've covered in 2019. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we move into a new year and a new decade, give us willing hearts to serve one another. Grant us the ability to be joyful in all circumstances. Help us to learn when we make mistakes and disobey you. And remind us that you are the Lord of history. You are the Alpha and Omega, whatever is going on in the world around us in 2020. We pray all of this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.